Open your Bible to Psalms 107 just for a minute. We'll read something here in Psalms and then we'll be looking in Acts chapter 27. It is so good to be here. Things just didn't work out in Providence for a while. I can't remember how long it's been. Someone said, last time you was here, you had a beard. I said, yeah, I can't hardly stand it in the summertime, and I started having to wear suspenders. Somebody called me an Amish the other day. And I didn't really realize this, so I did some research. It's kind of a little bit beside the point. The reason the Amish don't wear a belt is they said the buckle is worldly. So I do have my belt on. Turn to Psalms 107. Begin reading in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, those that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds, which lift up the waves thereof, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And they are at their wit's end. Then they cry out unto the Lord in their trouble. And that's always when we cry out is then. We are at our wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they are quiet, so he bringeth them into their desired haven. All of it serves his purpose. Now turn to Acts chapter 27. Here, this whole chapter is about the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar. Paul's whole life has been a voyage. God bringing him, taking him on missionary trips, raising up churches, preaching the gospel, and now he's on a voyage to go to Rome because the Lord had told him he must stand before Caesar. But here, let's begin reading in verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. He was a Roman soldier. It was his responsibility to watch over these prisoners. And they entered into a ship of Adramantium. We launched, meaning their purpose was to sail by the coast of Asia. When a Macedonian of Thessalonica, he was with Paul. So on this trip, there was Paul, there was Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, and then there was this man, Artaglias. And the next day they touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul. Now this man, he's not a believer. He doesn't trust God, but God even moves the hearts of wicked men to show mercy to his servants. And he was gracious to him. Paul maybe had some people there that he knew, and he was able to go visit with them. And you imagine how encouraging that was on that voyage. And courteously entreated Paul, verse 3, and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. They may have wanted to go one way, but they had to go to Cyprus because that's the way the winds pushed them. The wind of God, the Spirit of God is a mysterious thing. He moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. We see the results of it. And this is what they'd planned on doing, but because the winds were contrary to the way they wanted to go, and when he had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Mysia, a city of Lycia. And there the certain centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy. He took all the men from this one ship. They had probably thought, well, we're all going to go on this ship. And this man found this, must have been a large ship, because we're going to see there was 276 people on this ship. It's not just some little boat as we would imagine. This was a large, large vessel. And he put them on this ship of Alexandria sailing. They're going to Italy. They're going to Rome. They're going to unload their cargo. That's their plan. That's their purpose. That's what they've planned. But a lot of times our plans don't come to fruition. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Paul said, you know, I don't want to change boats. It's like trying to change airplanes. You know, we go down where we've got to get on this one. Why? It's going to Italy. And God's going to use this boat to teach Paul and to teach us some lessons. Where do we? He said, those that go down into the deep, they see his wonders. Oh, his wonders. And he put the men thereon, and when we had sailed slowly many days, but making much headway, and scarce were come over against Sidius, the wind not suffering us. The wind wouldn't allow them. It was pushing against them. You can't work against the wind. You may try, but you'll just wear yourself out. The wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Haven, nine whereinto the city was the city of Lycia. They probably never planned on coming to Lycia, what I understand. It was not a big port. It was not a place that a ship this size would have wanted to dock, especially for the winter, to spend there several months. But it's where they landed. It's where they're at. It's where God brought them in the providence of God. Verse 9. And when much time was spent. I wonder what they did during that time. I wonder if they just wasted the time. Said, well, we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time to get to Italy. No, they didn't. You only have a certain time that you can get out on the waters and sail a ship. You don't do it in the wintertime. It's not safe. But they said, oh, well, they probably, you know, it's like most human beings. We procrastinate and we put things off, and they just wasted time. They spent much time there. And the Spirit didn't see fit to tell us what they were doing. And when much time was spent, verse 9, sailing was now dangerous. The reason was because the fast was now already past. It's really not a time to be going. I could see them say, well, I think we'll get up in the morning and we're going to set sail. And you know it's dangerous and you still want to do it. You know it's not the smartest thing to do and you still want to do it. Anymore, it just seems, I don't want to get off point, it seems like what we used to call common sense, it's hard to find anymore. With these men, it would have been common sense, you don't sail this time of year. They've wasted time. It's not as dangerous because the fast was now already passed. Some believe it's probably sometime in September. But Paul admonishes them. They've been looking to their wisdom, their reasoning, and now God's going to speak. Now, Paul's not a man. He's not a sailor. He was a He was a tent maker by trade when he was growing up, and then he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He may have studied some about ships, but he didn't. He's not a professional shipman by any means. But Paul admonished him, and he said unto them, sirs, you can imagine everybody thinking, well, what are we going to do? Do we need to set sail? Everybody's giving their opinion. Everybody this day and time in which we live has their opinion. What does God say? That's the most important thing. What does God say? And God's going to speak. It's amazing that on this ship just happens to be an apostle. Just happens to be one that God uses to speak to men. Just a frail creature. And Paul admonished them. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also our lives. This ship's going to be destroyed. Everything in the ship's going to be washed away. When we get to the end of the chapter, when it's all said and done, there's nothing left except the lives of, and I don't mean that by saying that little, that just these men, that's the precious cargo on the ship, is these souls, these 276 men. But when it's all said and done, the ship will be gone, it'll be torn all to pieces, everything that was on the ship is gone, and they'll be standing on the shore, safely. But to get from here to there, they're going through some storms. And to get from where you are at this morning to you make it home to glory, you're going to go through some trouble. Just you mentioned all those people that either have cancer or some type of trouble they're going through. Those storms, those trials, they come for a reason. They come to wean us from this world, that we would cast our eyes upon Jesus and the things of earth grow strangely dim. Verse 10, he said, as I've already read, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. Can you imagine what they thought? Who's this guy? He's probably standing there in shackles. He's a prisoner. Who are you going to listen to? This is what Paul said. Now I'm telling you, you can either believe it or not. That's up to you. This is what he says. Believe it, or you say, I'm not believing it. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of Paul. Here's the captain. He's the owner of the ship. He's probably made a lot of money with this ship. He's probably got some very precious cargo. He's probably got some people that's paid a lot of money to ride in this ship. So who are you going to listen to? Who's this man more concerned about? He's more concerned about making a dollar. He's not concerned about the danger. He's just spouting off. I've heard that for all my life, that stuff about salvation by grace. And I've heard that. Well, who are you going to believe? Everyone here this morning, remember this. Be careful who you listen to. There's a lot of voices that like to get us distracted. Paul warned them. No, God warned them. God warned them. But they believed. They're gonna believe. We believe the master of the ship. Then the centurion, we trust him. It's gonna be okay. It may be a little troubled sea. We might be leaving a little bit later in the season, but it'll be okay. Trust me, it'll be all right. And that's what they did. And because the haven where they were at, they were actually had docked this boat here. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, what are you going to do all winter? I don't think they would spend all their time on the boat. There must have been places around that harbor where you could probably go get something to eat. You could have probably got you a nice room. You could have probably done a lot of different things. But this place is so small, they don't have a lot of those things. We don't want to stay here all winter. It's not commodious to winter in. So what are we going to do? We'll go somewhere else. Just so we can spend the winter there. A little nicer place. A little place on up the coast. That's where we want to go. And because the haven was not commodious, verse 12, to winter in, the more part advised to depart also, if by any means, notice that, if by any means they might obtain to Phinehas. Will you do whatever means it takes? This is what we want to do. And you know what? If God don't stop us, we'll do exactly what we want to do. If he doesn't step in our way, we will do exactly what our flesh wants to do. Which is a haven of Crete and lie toward the south, west, and northwest. Okay, now get the picture. They're here in this harbor. And they've heard from God, and they've heard from the master of the boat and the centurion. And they say, well, we don't really want to stay here anyway. Okay. We're leaving in the morning. So they get out and pull up the anchor, untie the boat, and pull up the mainsail. Boy, the wind's blowing softly. It's a soft wind from the south, a warm breeze, not a cold breeze, but a warm. Oh, God's blessing it. It seems like in Providence, that's why the wind blew the way it did. And they all seemed like, well, this is what we were looking for. We're going to have smooth sailing all the way. Ask Jonah about that. The Lord told him to go to Nineveh. Isn't that what he told him? He said, I'm not going to Nineveh. And you know what he did? He went down where you could rent a boat. He found a boat, found somebody willing to take him on the boat, and he pulled out, had the money to buy the ticket. Must be the Lord's will. Till the storm came up, and that was for Jonah. But you remember who's on this ship. Paul is on this ship with all these other men, and they're all going to go through it. We don't know what may come our way, but we're all going through it. We'll all have to face it. I know one thing we'll all have to face. We will all one day have to face death. And we in this life, we have to come to the face, the acknowledging of our sin. That's the biggest storm we face. We think sometimes that we've got it under control and everything's blowing, everything's going just easy. Just wait. Just wait. When the south wind, verse 13, blew softly, supposing... You know, that's when we always get in trouble, we suppose. Do you know when they come to Jerusalem, when our Lord was 12 years of age, that Mary and Joseph leaves and they go a day journey, supposing that Jesus was in their company, and he wasn't. When Naaman come to Elisha to be healed, I thought he'd come out and wave his hands. He supposed that's what he would do. Men suppose. And they supposing that they had obtained their purpose, following thence, they sailed close by Crete. Just, I can see it just so easy. No waves. I said, man, if it's like this all the way, this is going to be paradise. This is easy. But wait just a minute. Verse 14. But not long after, there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, a typhoon. I know some of y'all have seen on TV aggravate my wife Sandy about it because they named that hurricane, or that nor'eastern, they named it Sandy. Remember a couple years ago? Up there, you know, it wasn't just by the time it reached up there and it comes in off of that cold, it's not only wind and rain, but it's cold and just bites to your bone. People speak of it. That's what this was. All of a sudden, where did this come from? Well, who owns and controls everything? I love to sing that song, "This is our Father's world." This world needs to find that out. It's not their world, it's His world. He sends the storm when He sees fit. It comes as strong and lasts as long as He sees fit. He sent this for these people on this boat. You know what He's going to do? He's going to teach them, and He teaches us. We think everything's going smoothly. Everything's fine. Everything seems well. Let me give you an example. Sandy's mom and dad, they've had a few physical issues, but not nothing really, really, really major. Well, he did survive pancreatic cancer. That's pretty severe. 17 years ago. Never even had any treatment. You imagine that. Then 4 or 5 years later, he had prostate cancer. Survived it. He's 85. Now he's having many strokes and losing some of his vision and don't hardly know where he's at. And they tried to put him in a rehab hospital. And, you know, it's hard to find a good one. But you know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? That's a storm. Well, where's he going to stay? Well, he can't stay in that rehab hospital. He'll be dead. Her sister had to change her life, and she and her daddy moved there last night. And when we go down, we're going to go by there to see her mom and dad. You know what that is? That's a storm. And what we're going to have to do, have to deal with those things. And they will come. They will come. This violent, violent storm. Will the boat be able to stand it? Why did this come? The Lord had a purpose and a reason. So here comes this storm, this tempestuous wind. And when the ship was caught, it caught it. And could not bear up into the wind. What it's saying is it couldn't resist it. This wind twisted that boat. It turned that boat any way he seen fit. You know what it is? There's no resisting. You know what we do? We have to submit. When the ship, look at this verse 15, was caught up and could not bear up into the wind, you know what they did? We got to let her drive. Just hang on. That sounds terrifying, doesn't it? But that's all they could do. All they could do. And then running under a certain island, verse 16, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps under the ship, undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into some quicksand, they strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, just keep on, it won't let up. One storm, one wind, right after another, even blowing at night. When are you going to rest? It's like the troubled sea. You know what they did the next day? We got to get rid of some stuff. We got too much stuff on the boat. It's weighting us down. It said they lightened the ship. You know, all of us have a lot of things that are just not really important. It's just vanity and vexation of spirit. I'll say this, and I think Sandy, I think she'll understand. I think she has and will. Most of you know I was married before. And the last picture we ever had made together was in this church, 2008. That's been several years ago. But it was all of a sudden when she got sick. I took her to the hospital one Sunday evening. She's just not feeling well. Her blood pressure's low, about right above 50. And they come in 3 or 4 hours later, and she seemed to be fine. They said, "Are you okay?" She said, "No, my chest is burning." They did some tests, and they said, "You're having a heart attack. We're going to send you to Baptist Hospital, which is a great hospital. And they can take care of you." Well, everything I thought was okay till the next morning. And at the hospital, before they sent her to Baptist, they give her a medicine called a clot buster. And by Monday morning, she's having bleeds on her brain. And they said, "Unless it stops, we can't stop it." That's a tempestuous wind. We all go through them. But they serve a purpose. Some things I thought was important, shoot, ain't important no more. Not important anymore. We lightened the ship, verse 19, and the third day we cast with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Well, we better keep it. No, we don't need it. It's dragging us down. We've got to get rid of it. Something else. Let me share with you. Me and my first wife, we was in business together. She was amazing business partner. So I not only lost my wife, I lost my business partner. I wanted to get rid of that business so bad, every morning it made me sick just going in there, because it's not the same. That was in 2008. I had to ride that ship for another 4 years. Nothing I can do. What am I to do? Go in there and do the best job I can and honor him. But when it was time, it was gone. And you know when it happened? December of 2012. You know what happened the next year? October 2013, I become the pastor. Millsite Baptist Church. That's where the storm took me. But you could see his hand in everything. We cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, how are you going? They can't direct the ship. They don't have compasses in these things. They do it by the stars or the moon or the sun. They can't see. It's total darkness for days. I told them Wednesday night at the church, when I don't know what to do, when we don't know what to do, you know what you do? Nothing. That don't mean you do nothing, but you stay right where you are. No small tempest lay on us. I want you to get this. I want you to see this. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Why did they get in this mess? Because they wouldn't believe God. They got themselves in this mess, but they can't get themselves out of this mess. We've got ourselves in this mess. And we cannot. All hope that we should be saved by ourselves, it's gone. All hope that we could save or change ourselves. I talked to someone the other day and they were dealing with depression. And they said, "Well, maybe I just need to read more, need to pray more. Maybe if I pray 2 or 3 hours." I said, "If God don't enable you, you can't pray. It's just uttering words. And if he don't help you to see something, it's just reading lines." All hope that we can be saved is taken away. And from God's point, that's a good thing. And if God ever brings you to the place that you, unless you see that you cannot save yourself, you're miserable. And you imagine them, Shelby, what we're going to do? We've thrown out everything we can think of to get rid out of the ship. What are we to do? But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me God's people take rebuke. You know, he said, he told Timothy, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And you know what the first thing he said? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and darkness. You know what my fault is? I disobeyed. You say, what do you mean disobeyed? You know what disobedience is? It's unbelief. They just didn't believe God. And he pointed it out. I said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Why didn't I listen? Have you ever felt that way? I know the problem. I know it's my problem. I made the mess. But I can't get myself out of it. He said, you should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete. And to have suffered and to have gained this harm and loss. But I exhort you, be of good cheer. Oh, here comes the gospel. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. None of you is going to die. 276 people all going to make it safe. Now the ship's going to be destroyed. It'll serve its purpose, but all of you going to make it to the shore. How can that be? How are we going to make it? You know how we're going to make it? It's called grace. Grace. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. It is the promise of Almighty God, and I believe him. My question is, do you believe him? Do I believe him? Let him send a storm. I believe that it shall be as God hath told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Well, the ship's going to be destroyed. If the ship's destroyed, how are we going to make it on the island? How are we going to make it to the island? And when the 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. They sensed, for some reason, maybe, I don't know, that they were close to some land. And they sounded, and they found it 20 fathoms. The water, this is how deep the water was. And then they had gone a little further, and they found that it was a little bit shallower. They were getting closer to land. Then fearing lest we should have fallen on upon rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. You ever wish the night would be over? Wished for the day. One day there'll be a new day. No more sorrow, no more pain. Some of you asked me about, I had a knee surgery back in January. And it was a lot of nights I wished for the day. Nerve pain and different things, and give me the wrong medicine, and you're hallucinating, and you can't sleep at night. And then sometimes I can't even sleep during the day. After two or three days, that gets pretty old. I was telling someone, I told Sandy, I said, they stuff crawling on that wall. She said, I don't see nothing. And I said, it's crawling on this wall. She said, I don't see it. I said, I'm going to take a picture of it. And I seen it in the picture. But you see what I'm saying? I wished that it was over. But you know what? Nothing I did could make it any better. Boy, I'd be glad to see the sun. That's what it said. They wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, this is the men who ran the ship. When they had let down the boats into the sea, under the color as though would have cast anchors out of the ship. They went down and they were pretending that they were going to cast the anchors out of the ship. That ain't what they were doing. And Paul noticed what they were doing. You know what they were doing? We're going to let down the lifeboats. Well, what about everybody else? We don't care about them. We're just interested in saving ourselves. We're going to let down the lifeboats and we're going to get in them and we're going to go to shore. Y'all can do whatever you want to. And Paul said, I said that except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. And you know what the soldiers did? They took an axe or something and they cut off the ships, the little boats hanging on the side of the ship. You know what someone called them ships? Just in case boats. Just in case the boat's going down, we'll jump in the lifeboat. You know, as I thought about that, you think about the Titanic. They said it's unsinkable. Well, why put any lifeboats on it? And then when they needed them, they didn't have enough. But you know what we have to do? We not only have to get rid of everything in the ship, we got to get rid of them just in case boats. What's left? The Word of God. Everything else is gone. You know, I'd be selfish when I'll go down and get me a lifeboat. I ain't tell nobody about it. We'll get to shore. They can defend for themselves. But he said, even those men, the only way they're going to survive, not in a lifeboat, they got to stay in the ship. Verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boats and let them fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat, saying, the day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting and haven't taken nothing. Now that doesn't mean they had fasted for 14 days. They would many of them be alive if they had went 14 days without eating. What I understand this is to be, they didn't have much of an appetite. And if you were tossed to and fro, if I was tossed to and fro, I'd be seasick. What he was saying, they didn't have much appetite. But he said, you know, you need to eat a little something. It's for your health. You know what we need? We need to feast on God's Word. That's our nourishment. That's our strength. Wherefore, I pray you to take, verse 34, some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Do you know how many hair you got on your head? No. Do I know? No, I know I got less than I used to have. But you know, the Lord's even concerned about the little things. He knows how many you have. Not a hair of your head shall fall from your head without your Father's knowledge. And when he had thus spoken, verse 35, he took bread and gave thanks in the presence of them all. You imagine this man, I'd say it was a pretty solemn time. He takes a piece of bread. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for giving us a little bread, a little something to eat. And he broke the bread, and they began to eat. Then they were all glad. Then they were all of good cheer, verse 36, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and throwed the rest of the wheat off the boat. What are you going to eat? I guess something. Don't do that. We may need it. You know what I think that was? It's not fatalism, that was faith. They believed God. God help me to believe. If I've never believed, God enable me right this second to believe. Verse 38, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain Crete with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, that they could thrust the ship. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and were making it toward shore. We've been at sea long enough, and here we go. And drive her right into the sand. And she just nails it. She can't come up on the shore. She's a little short of the shore. And you know what happens to the back of the ship? The waves just tear it all to pieces. It had served its purpose. It was broken. Broken. And falling into a certain place where two seas met, life and death, heaven and hell, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. They're all in the boat. Why would they turn on these people? Kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But here's that centurion again, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Well, what about those who can't swim? They ain't no lifeboats. How are you going to get, we don't know how far it is, but no, it doesn't matter how far it is if you can't swim. It doesn't matter if it's 5 feet or 20 feet. That doesn't matter. Here's what he said. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it was. So it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Some people may leave this world and just have extreme faith. And some may be like a man like David Brainerd. This man died in his 20s. This man wore his body out trying to preach to the Indians in the New England states. And he died at Jonathan Edwards' house. And they said the last 24 hours of his life, he tried to look to see if there was any evidence that he believed God. That's a man who thinks he can't swim. But you know what they did? I guarantee you, you can't stay in the boat. What are you going to do? I got to make it to, how can I get to the shore? On the broken piece of the ship, the wave carries them up on shore. I can say, for instance, because I liked to drown it one time. Once you almost drown, don't get that off your mind. It's hard to move past that. I can tell you this, if they throwed me out, I'd look for anything I could grab onto, and I wouldn't turn it loose. I know Christ holds us, but I can tell you this, I want to grab him with both arms, and I ain't turning him loose. He was broken. He was bruised to put away our sin and every one of them. Here comes another one. I don't know if he'll make it. He'll make it. He can't swim. You know what the wave did? The same wave that tore that boat all to pieces brings him right upon the shore. Man. That's solid. I'm walking on solid ground. I ain't staggering. I'm not being cast to and fro, acting like a drunk man, being at my wit's end. No, I'm safe. You know, I think a lot of us, I can't remember who said it, but someone said, when we get to glory, there'll be a lot of people there that we didn't expect to be there. And there'll be some there, a lot there, that we expected to be there, and they were not there. But the most amazing thing will be, is we'll be there. And they all escaped safe to land. You know, to me, every time I try to read this chapter, it blesses my heart. And I hope it blessed yours. I pray God in His grace would give you a little something, just a little nugget to help you through life. Because, you know, He's in control. of all things. Everything that moves, everything that wiggles, everything that draws a breath is ordained of our God for the salvation of his. It's just a little storm. And it will bring us to him. Amen.